Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knazovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll have Predators General Manager David Poile coming up at 8:30, so looking forward to that conversation with him. Right now, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So we've talked a lot about the quarterback position yesterday, Ryan Tannehill, the decisions that Rand Carthon has to make on that front, and with Derrick Henry as well. Obviously, those two things are going to be the headliner this offseason as to what the Titans do, particularly at the quarterback position. Beyond that, beyond those two guys that are going to occupy a lot of our attention this offseason, when you look at this Titans roster, when you look at trying to build this offensive line, when you look at all the list of issues that they had a year ago that led to them losing 7 games in a row.
Feels that way.
It does kind of feel that way. What are the biggest decisions that jump out to you in your mind, Joe Rexrode, that Rand Carthon has on his plate now that he's taken over as Titans general manager beyond Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry?
Yeah. So as far as stay or not, you know, like veteran who could be a big part of the team next year, makes a fair amount of money, you have to make a decision. I think Bud Dupree has to fall in this category. I mean, I would lean toward, you know, no Bud Dupree next year, personally.
Agreed.
However, you know, is there some thought that it's just been incredibly bad luck in the building, that's just been incredibly bad luck, and, you know, that he's still you still think about Bud Dupree that they have seen at times – here and there, and then you have Harold Landry coming back along with Autry Simmons. What could that mean? I mean, we have seen it. Again, think back to, like, the Kansas City game last year when Kansas City couldn't, like, get a freaking first down in that game. That was Bud Dupree all over the place, along who I think he had a strip sack in that game, but he certainly was a force in that game, along with all those other guys, moving them all over the place. And it was an impressive – again, it was a big part of why they were the number one seed last year. So, I think – like, again, I've kind of almost gone to the point of like, nah, Bud Dupree won't be here. But I don't know that that's necessarily the case. Like, well, I think Zach Cunningham's not a hard decision. I mean, I think that's an easy one. I wouldn't put those – I've kind of put them in the same category, and I don't think that's right. I think Bud Dupree is tougher.
Well, he's played in 22 games in the past 2 years in the regular season out of 34. So 22 of 34 games means he's missed 12. He did play in the one playoff game as well that they played during that span. So overall, 23 of 35 games that he's been in. He'll be 30 next year. Are the injuries going to stop? Do you think he's just going to magically be healthy at 30? I would argue no. But the flip side to your point, Joe, is, okay, let's say you move on from him and you cut him. Well, now you're adding one more thing to the list that you got to go find. You got to go find another pass rusher. I mean, I guess they could look at it and say Rashad Weaver is that other guy on the other side. Just me personally, I didn't see enough out of Rashad Weaver this year for me to say, yeah, I feel great about him being the starting outside linebacker next year. I mean, I think he would be fine. I think you should shoot for better than fine. It's just my thought on the matter.
So how much better is Bud Dupree? I think if he plays,
he's healthy, I think he is better.
Yeah. You're talking about a cap number of 20.2.
That's a lot.
You're also talking about dead money of 10.9.
Yeah.
If you cut him pre June 1st. I mean, you're saving more than $9 million, but it's a lot of dead money. And of course, we're also having this conversation about Tannehill, and yep. There's only so much you can tolerate. So, I think that's got to count as a really interesting discussion that I would not right now just absolutely say that's done. You know, I think Nate Davis is another really interesting discussion for the Titans. I would lean toward it's worth trying to, you know, sign him to a new deal. I don't know exactly what that would look like. He's also a guy who just has missed a lot of time and has struggled to stay healthy, and that scares you off a little bit, but he's a pretty good right guard when he's right. I mean, some of these decisions, you know, you're going to have some better luck than you've had with some of these guys if you're going to stick with him. You know, Robert Woods
yep.
is, and it's very interesting that Rand Carthon basically kind of, well, I don't know if he found him, but he identified him as a guy who would work really well in their offense, and it turned out to be a home run. And it's one of the two guys that Les Snead, I was like, can you tell me any specific, I know you guys don't like to give credit or talk about who did what, but can you think of anything that Rand did that you'd be willing to share? And those were the two guys, Whitworth and Woods were the two guys he brought up as, like, those are Rand's, you know, finds. And he was like, I believe that Robert Woods will work well here. But Robert Woods is much older now, is coming off an ACL, and it just, to me, just really wasn't very effective, very explosive, struggled to get open, all that stuff. So
you're talking about dead money of about $2.5 million, too, from overthecap.com.
Right. So you're talking about savings of 12.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, I think Zach Cunningham is probably the easiest decision in terms of a cut. I mean, you have Monty Rice. You have Dylan Cole. And by the way, I don't think David Long Jr. is a hard decision, but it's not like we know for sure how it's going to go. I think you have to sign him.
I agree. Like, I think it's crucial to bring him back. The Woods thing, like, to me, I don't think it's a very hard decision, just me personally. Like, I'm moving on from it. I think I said it earlier. Now that's me. I'm moving on from him, but I think you need to revamp the receiving core and, like, totally revamp outside of Treylon Burks, the receiving core, and I guess Kyle Phillips be back in there too. But Robert Woods, I mean, you're saving $12 million. I just think that's a move you've got to make if you're the Titans. There's no way, to me, you could justify paying him that much money next year based on what we just saw. Now, look, maybe I guess you could think if you're Vrabel or if you're Carthon, all right, well, he was hurt. He was coming off the ACL. Maybe it took him a little bit longer to get going than we thought. But there was really never any point last year where he looked like he was explosive, creating separation, anything like that. And I'm just not taking the chance on that happening again with him next year if I'm the Titans. So I would put him in a category with Zach Cunningham. Like, I think those two are, to me, locks, that they're not coming back.
Yeah. And some people would put Dupree in that category, but I'm pulling up a little bit short of that, because it's just it really is, so much of it is like what you know and have more information than we have about the state of his body. I mean, is he breaking down? Is that what's happening? Because he's had a variety of injuries.
Yep.
And the ACL, some of the stuff he missed last year was by his own admission, maybe trying to accelerate the process a little bit. And then he had to take some time off. And then later in the season, I mean, I thought he looked good. I thought last year before he got hurt, even like in the Buffalo game, you know, like you've seen it with him some. Boy, that's still – it's just – I mean, you're locked into this right now, this big deal. You're not locked in. You can get out of it, but it also is going to hurt you to get out of it. And then, like you said, I mean, if you're – next year's team, you know, next year's defense can be very good yep. with luck, but also there's so much like health – luck that's needed in the secondary that you didn't have this year. But is it going to be great if just with Landry coming back as a pass rusher? I do wonder about Danico Autry in the last year of his deal. Look, he's been nothing but outstanding here, but he's getting up there.
Yep.
So I feel like you really need to have another player getting after the quarterback who you feel good about. And if it's not him, then who would it be? And it could be a draft pick, but you have to me, address receiver and offensive line again, offensive line and receiver again in yep. the draft.
Well, to that point, there's one player in particular, decision-wise, that I'm really interested to see how Rand Carthon and the Titans approach it this offseason, and we'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on the Titans and the decisions that Rand Carthon has to make. Preds fans, don't miss tomorrow night's Smashville live show at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs, starting at 6 o'clock. You can see your Predator star players up close and personal, plus get autographs and pictures as well. Nino Niederreiter and Ryan McDonough, the guests for Smashville Live. So looking forward to that. Smashville Live brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, and Superbook Sports. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5, The Game studio here on this Tuesday morning. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. We'll have Predators General Manager David Poyle coming up at 8:30. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Talking about decisions that Rand Carthon has to make, some of the tough decisions beyond Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. And, Joe, there is a player that I'm really fascinated by this offseason that I have pretty good confidence going to be on the team next year, but does potentially need a new contract. And that is Jeffrey Simmons. Jeffrey Simmons, we talked about it heading into training camp. Would the Titans decide to give him a deal then? They did not. Jeffrey Simmons played this year, played the majority of this year hurt on the ankle. Talked about it after the season and after the Jacksonville loss about how he was basically getting his ankle shot up in the second half of the season to go out there and play. And I would say certainly some times and examples where he was still very good playing on the injured ankle. And there were other games where not quite as noticeable, particularly with the absence of Danico Autry combined at the same time with Jeffrey Simmons dealing with the ankle. So I'm interested to see, now that you have a new general manager, how does Rand Carthon view Jeffrey Simmons? How does Rand Carthon view how much money he's comfortable giving Jeffrey Simmons? And how big of a priority is that contract for the Titans this offseason as Rand Carthon steps into this new role? The Jeffrey Simmons contract, I would assume they get figured out. I also assume they'd get the A.J. Brown contract figured out. We know what happened there last year as well. So anytime you get a new GM coming in, I don't think it's just a foregone conclusion that Jeffrey Simmons is going to get big money and a big deal here with the Titans.
Yeah, I think they definitely – look, I was a proponent of get it done last year. Get a better deal. Now, he did get hurt this year, so I mean that hurts him probably some. He didn't have the same production. Durability is the biggest ability in the NFL. So for the first time, he actually had something that kept him – didn't keep him out of much, but it affected his performance.
Yes.
Good on him for toughing it out. You hope that, like, he wasn't risking anything by toughing it out, but as he talked about very emotionally – after the loss in Jacksonville, he was shooting up his ankle every week to get out there. I think you have to make it happen, and you have to pay him big money. He's not just a great player, and he is a great player. He's not just a great player. I think he's kind of emerged as one of the real emotional leaders of this team, too. I mean, he's just a – I think he brings everything you want to a team in terms of his competitiveness and his fire. His desire to win, his love for the game. But again, what matters most is that he's a great player.
Yep.
So I just think it's a no-brainer. He has to be paid. Now, unless you do go through the process and you absolutely do love one of those quarterbacks, and I would say that he would be a potential veteran trade chip if you were trying to move way up in the draft.
Yep.
So that'd be the one. I think it's either or. You sign him, and you sign up for these next few years of Jeffrey Simmons, which should be very good for you and for him. Or if this is the year you're going to get the quarterback, he may need to be involved.
Well, I am though. I'm interested to see how much money he's asking for and how much money the Titans are willing to give him, because I agree. First off, let me make myself clear. They should re-sign Jeffrey Simmons. They should sign him to a contract extension. He's a great player. You need to stop letting great players walk out the door if you're the Titans. I mean, you can't let that happen after you just let it happen with A.J. Brown. And I know it's a new regime in there now and you've got a new general manager, but you can't just let him walk out the door and have this contract situation get in the way again. So I think they should re-sign Jeffrey Simmons, and they should make that a priority this offseason. But I do wonder, when you'd have a general manager, especially the general manager that comes in, and he's not the one that drafted you. This happens in professional sports. When you have general managers come in and they're not the one that draft the players, they just view them a little bit differently. What does the money look like? What is Jeffrey Simmons asking for? And what are the Titans comfortable giving Jeffrey Simmons at that position? Does he want to be paid Aaron Donald money? Because if he wants to be paid Aaron Donald money, I could see a pretty easy scenario where the Titans are like, yeah, we're not giving you Aaron Donald money. And what sort of conversation or problem does that create? I'm interested to see how it goes and what a priority that looks like for the Titans this offseason.
Yeah, what is Aaron Donald's number? Do you remember off the top
around,
of your head?
I think it's around 30, isn't it? Let me go look.
Yeah, I think so. It's 30-plus.
Did you guys see his social media, though, that he might be retiring?
Aaron Donald?
Aaron Donald?
Yeah. Yeah.
Says that every year. But yeah, at some
or
point.
Or just last year and this year.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, that's every year.
Every year.
That's his new thing every year.
Well, it was the Instagram. He like yeah. put former.
His cap hit next
oh, really?
Year. His cap hit this year was $27 million. His cap, talking about Aaron Donald. His cap hit next year is $26 million. 2024, it's $34 million. There you go.
Yeah.
Right around 30.
So SpotTrack, had, yeah, they do like market value things. They put Simmons at 4 years, 86, which would be second in DT. You know, so that's a, you know, if you go, if you're worried about, again, like what's the guaranteed money number?
Right. And
that's really the bigger thing because a lot of these contracts don't, you know, go all the way, but that would be an average AAV of, you know, a little like 21.5. Comparable players, Jonathan Allen's on a 4 year 72. Bradley Chubb's on a 5 year 110, but it's not the, you know, Leonard Williams is on a 3 year 63. That's more of a comparable player, Williams or Allen, you know. So, yeah, I mean, he's right in there. I mean, he's right in there in that same group behind Donald,
yep,
among the best defensive tackles, and that's what it, you know, it should be right in there. So, I don't see how Derek, I don't think how Jeffrey Simmons can reasonably say that he should be paid quote-unquote Aaron Donald money right now coming off this last year, but certainly he should be right up there with those other guys in
Agreed.
The next tier.
I got a texture that says the Titans won't do it. Jeff is under contract, and they'll expect him to play out his contract. It's from a texter on the text line.
Well, I mean, first of all, like, this is a new GM, but that's not how it's gone with a lot of guys. It's not how it went with Byard. It's not how it went with Luan.
Right. Like, the question we were asking last year was, do you do it a year early, right, if you're the Titans?
And they did with Byard and Luan, didn't they?
Yeah.
I think so.
Right, but Jeffrey Simmons.
Oh, last year was two years early.
Yeah,
yeah. Again, which I thought it could be a nice little hometown discount possibility there, and also like starting the clock. When, you know, because look, you give him a four, like I would be more in favor of something like the Leonard Williams kind of deal.
Yeah,
and look at 3 years, and maybe a higher number per year, but whatever. The guaranteed money is what matters. You find that number that's the sweet spot and just do a three-year deal. But that's me. Now, at this point, that's what I would do.
Jake in Greenbrier on the text line says, agree with Joe, want him back, but he could be a massive bargaining chip. Chicago would be drafting Jalen Carter in hopes of him becoming Jeffrey Simmons. Why not just go get Jeff if you're Chicago? This is from Jake in Greenbrier on the text line.
It's just a matter of, are you willing to part with a player of this quality in his prime to go do that? Because then you are not only, because we've talked about, if you love the quarterback, great. Yeah, it's next year probably gonna be rough,
because
then you're not addressing these things that are glaring holes in your team, and if you do this, then you're creating a hole too,
right?
And sending away a great player who plays for you. I mean, it's a huge decision, but again, it's. That's only if you are absolutely resolved that this has to be the next quarterback, Tennessee Titans, and he's going to be great.
Yeah, that's the only way you do something like that. Beyond that, like, if you're not going to use him to do that, like, you got to sign him if you're the Titans. Right? Like, I've heard some people say, well, what if the Titans go through a rebuild? Like, why would you sign Jeffrey Simmons? Like, hopefully, if you do the rebuild right, he would still be good enough on the other side that be a good player for you.
Yeah, I mean, NFL, no one in the NFL looks, I mean, sometimes it happens. Like, sometimes, you know, you're the Lions and they're decades at a time. But no one in the NFL looks at a rebuild like it should be more than a year or two if you do it right, to at least get to the point of being in playoff contention.
Exactly.
So
don't always work out that way, but
no.
That's at least how it's viewed.
But again, think about the bottoming out of the Titans in 14 and 15, and then they were potentially a Mariota broken leg away from winning the division the next year.
Yeah, it can change pretty quickly in this league. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators General Manager David Poile for his weekly visit. We'll get into the Predators, their game tonight against the Winnipeg Jets. Take your thoughts as well on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Preds pick to click coming up at 8:45. All that ahead, this is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. And as we do every Tuesday morning, we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators General Manager David Poile. David, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning, guys. All good here.
Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, David. It was a really entertaining game Saturday night. I want to get your thoughts on that. And also, I mean, Roman Josi made some comments about, you know, a team meeting that was had after the St. Louis game. Obviously, the Blues game did not go the way that you or anybody else wanted to, and talked about the honest conversations. I think the word uncomfortable was used by Roman Josi, were conversations that he had and that the team had after that game. What did you make of that, and what did you make of the response from your team on Saturday against L.A.?
Well, I think it was really necessary. You know, we've talked many times in the show this year about the ups and downs of the team, and, you know, every time we seem like we're getting a little bit of traction, we in terms of taking a couple of steps forward, we seem to take a step backwards like we did in that St. Louis game. And I was really glad that the players and the coaches had a meeting. I believe it was led by the leadership players. And, you know, it's sort of now or never, if you will. I mean, we're going to have the break here in a couple of games, and we're still not in the playoffs. We haven't really been there all year, and we just need to play at a higher, more consistent level. So to me, the response was really good. The fact that we won the game, of course, trumps everything. But what I really liked was the leaders were our best players. Roman Josi, our captain, got 3 assists. Ryan Johansson scored a power play goal. Granlund scored. Matt Duchene scored 2 goals. Philip Forsberg got 7 shots on net. And again, let's call it like it is. I mean, that's the way it's going to have to be if we're going to be successful. We've got to be led by our best players. Our best players have to be our best players. And I think they're certainly, you know, after that meeting, they're willing to take this responsibility on. And let's see what happens. I mean, as we said, we've got 2 more games. We've got Winnipeg tonight in New Jersey. Winnipeg's the top team in our conference, basically. I think New Jersey's got the 3rd best overall record in the National Hockey League. So we've got 2 of the best teams in here tonight and Thursday. And how we do in those 2 games is going to go a long way to, you know, our consistency, our confidence, and whether we're going to be really push here for the playoffs.
So on that meeting, David, I guess, like you said, I mean, we know who the key guys are. We know who the guys are going to have to perform the rest of the way, and it was a good direct outing after that meeting. But I guess my question would be, why would a meeting like that be necessary for them to understand, you know, how important they are to this team?
I've been doing this job for a long time, and I've never had a year that just goes the way you think it's going to go. There's ups and downs, you know, there's good play, bad play, there's injuries, there's travel factors or what have you. I think every team basically goes through this. I mean, you've seen, at the start of the year, there seemed like there's 5 or 6 teams that after less than 10 games in the season had to, what they call that closed door meeting, where it was just the players. So it's a tough business. It's a hard game. It's hard to win in this league. And the reason why I love this game is that it's the ultimate team game. You can't do it by yourself. You have to have the support of everybody on your team. I always use a little bit of an example of Wayne Gretzky, greatest player of all time, standing in front of the net, and there's 2 guys in the corner fighting, getting physically abused to get the puck to Gretzky, who scores the goal and gets, in some cases, most of the credit. But that's what teamwork is all about. What was the highlight of the game against L.A. the other night? It was the 5th goal. It was Cole Smith scoring his first goal in the National Hockey League. Talk about a team bonding thing. Did you see the reaction there from players and coaches? I mean, this kid has worked so hard for us, you know, being really good defensively and killing penalties, but he's been snake-bitten and hasn't got 1 goal in, you know, 40-plus games, and he gets his first goal. Those are the types of things that might be a rallying point for our team.
Well, David, to that point, I mean, Matt Duchene scores twice on Saturday, and I thought he was really impactful in the game. How much of a springboard do you hope that can be for him moving forward? And I guess to that point, what have you thought of the way that he's played to this point this season?
Well, I think every, you know, again, I'm not, you know, it's a team game, and you win and lose based on how your team plays overall. And we've just been inconsistent. Do I think we've lived up to our potential? Absolutely not. Do I think we can play better? Absolutely. And it's going to take, and I'm just repeating myself, it's going to take our top players to do that. I mean, Duchesne and Forsberg scored 40 goals last year, and they need to score at a higher rate. I mean, just for us to be successful. And I know they can do it. I mean, I think one of the important things is for managers or coaches that you set the expectations correctly and that you don't put somebody in a position where they can't do it. For Duchesne, I think he's a goal scorer. I think he's an elite goal scorer. I really like it when he's getting lots of shots on net. I want him to be selfish because he can score. I would rather he doesn't pass. I'd like him driving to the net. I like him shooting the puck. Same with Forsberg. I don't think anybody's going to call him selfish for getting scoring chances and scoring goals. So I am optimistic based on, the meeting, the time of the year, that this is going to be our best hockey. And again, for the second time, I mean, tonight against Winnipeg and New Jersey will be a good test for all of our team.
I guess we can just keep going through these guys. I actually wanted to ask you about, Johansson and Granlund. Because, production is one thing, and I think we all knew, with some of these guys from what they did last year, it's not realistic to expect the numbers to be exactly the same. But with those two players, just from my naked eye, David, I just feel like they haven't been as effective, haven't been as impactful this season consistently. What about those two and where they are?
Yeah, I think you're correct. I mean, we're not trying to pile on here. It's just I think here the third time it's a team situation, and goes back to the first question about the meeting the other day. I mean, I think the players realize this, and they have to count on each other. You just cannot be successful in hockey unless you've got all your parts moving in the same direction. I mean, one guy can't do it. So yeah, Granny and Joey, they know. They've some of the players I believe that spoke out at this meeting, and they know. And I think again that was one of their better all around efforts in their last game. Joey played well. Granny played much better. And we're counting on these guys to be more consistent and get closer to the level that they were last year. So I think if you went up to them, I think they would totally agree. I think they would understand that, and I think at this time of year they want that challenge. I think they want to be the guys. I mean, John put the power play back together. The five guys that played on the power play last year that was so successful, and we scored a goal. So hope springs eternal, and again, the time is running short. We play these two games, and then we have the break. We have 34 games left after the break. 22 are in our conference, which means 22 real good opportunities of, beating teams that are above us or close to us in the standings to get those real 4-point games to give us the best chance of making the playoffs. So we have an opportunity here, and we'll just have to see how our guys whether they can live up to this challenge.
David, on the goaltending front, I mean, Kevin Lankinen has been so good by the numbers when he's been in there so far this year, and obviously Saros has been as well. I guess how much differently do you view the goaltending situation this year, maybe as opposed to last year, in terms of your ability to maybe use both guys coming down the stretch where, as you said, schedule gets a little tighter and lots of big games against Western Conference opponents coming up on the other side of the All-Star break?
Yeah, very, confident in our goaltending. I mean, we just had a lot of questions about what was wrong with our team, and there's nothing wrong with our goaltending. It's been fantastic for us. And when you look at the schedule again after the break, the 34 games, the number of days, I think it's exactly 68 days. So you're playing every other day. Certainly, we're playing lots of back-to-backs. We're playing three games in four nights, four and six. We're going to have to rely on two goalies. For sure. I don't know what the breakdown is going to be, but Kevin Lankinen is certainly going to get his fair share of games when we get out of this break.
So, David, yeah, this break, I don't know if there's any benefit to this at all or not, but this is how I'm going to ask the question. Is there any benefit to, during a break, say, calling up a particular player from Milwaukee who may, be able to help you? I mean, I know it's a break, so it's not like you guys are practicing during the break, but is there any thought of this being a good timing for a Philip Tomasino?
Well, first of all, on the break itself, I don't know the answer to that. In theory, it feels really good to the players and coaches to get a break. How they handle it, how we come back, that's the question. I mean, maybe it's just what the doctor ordered. That would be fantastic if the break is in our favor, but I don't know that. In terms of giving players an opportunity, Phil Tomasino, I mean, I think he's getting very close to being on the top of the list right now. Obviously, without any injuries in the next couple of games, we're going to play our current roster. But again, we're making decisions on a daily basis. I would be really surprised if we don't give Tomasino a chance sometime this season. But it's certainly dictated, of course, by how he's playing down in Milwaukee, which is very good. But it's also going to be dictated by how we're playing up here. So. He's on our radar, and he's close to getting an opportunity.
Predators general manager David Poile, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row, joins us every Tuesday morning at 8:30. David, thanks for being with us. Good luck tonight against Winnipeg, and we'll talk with you next week.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you. David Poile, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row. We'll take your thoughts on the Predators, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick the Click. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal scorer for the Predators tonight against Winnipeg, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. The Preds back in action tonight at home at Bridgestone Arena, taking on the Winnipeg Jets. They'll take on the New Jersey Devils on Thursday to close things out before the All-Star break. So two big games for the Predators starting tonight in Winnipeg. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on 1025-1063 The Game. A quick standings update in the competition. Yours truly, Robbie Stanley, in first place with 11 correct answers. The listeners in second place with 10 correct answers.
Oh, man, you went ahead of the listener now.
Sure did.
How dare you.
Joe Rexrode in third place with 9 correct answers. And Michelle closing in on Joe with 7 correct answers here in the competition. With that in mind, let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Marie from Nashville. Marie, thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
I am going Roman Josi.
Roman Josi. Marie, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Absolutely. So Josi is off the board. Marie going with Josi. Michelle, you are up. Your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
I want you to guarantee Forsberg doesn't score.
Well,
do it. Do it.
Would you look at that? I will be picking Philip Forsberg today.
No Novak?
I think this is the first time I've gotten to pick Philip Forsberg.
Ever?
No.
Like all year?
Last season I did.
Ever?
We'll just go with that. Yeah, sure. Ever this year.
Huh. That's wild. You know, I think it's interesting because the listener has gone heavily to him, of course. And, I mean, he's the natural first pick, but it's not like it's been anything like last year where it was Forsberg and Duchesne was like a lock every night, you know?
It's a different place.
Yeah.
I'm going to go – I'm torn because, like, Saturday's night's game could be maybe like a launching point for Matt Duchesne. But I'm going to go Juuso Parsonen. I've got a feeling that he puts one in the back of the net tonight. So I'll go with Parsonen. Josi Forsberg Parsonen off the board. Joe Rexrode, your pick to click for the Predators.
Cool. I'll take Duchesne.
There you go. Going with Matt Duchesne.
Works for me.
So Josi Forsberg Parsonen Duchesne, the selections and Preds pick to click. Presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. It's a big one tonight for the Preds. We talked a lot about the Preds today on the show, gave a little bit of the state of the union of the Nashville Predators, heard from a lot of different Predators fans, continuing to hear from a lot of Predators fans on Twitter. We appreciate that. I'm interested how they respond tonight. You're 5 points out of a playoff spot. You're playing two teams this week that are really good in the standings. And, I mean, Winnipeg's 31-16-1. They're in second in the Central. They're 63 points. And then, as David Poile said in the last segment, New Jersey, 30-12-4, 64 points. Now, you've already beaten New Jersey once this year in a comeback win for the Predators. So, good news there. But two big games for the Predators coming up this week. And, you know, if you win them, let's say you win both these games, I don't know exactly what the standings will look like, but you'll be close to a playoff spot. If you lose them both, you could find yourself, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 points back of a playoff spot heading into the All-Star break. It's not a good place to be. So that being said, you need to try to win these next two games if you're the Nashville Predators at home.
Win both, buy at the deadline, lose both, sell at the deadline, split, stand pat.
Maybe so.
There you go.
Maybe that's the way you go.
Should have asked David Poile that. He probably would have confirmed that that's exactly how he's looking at it.
I'm sure he would have.
No, it's a bit. I mean, you have to really start making some noise. Colorado's going to take one of those spots. I'm confident in that. Yes. They're going to figure it out. They're going to get on a hot streak. They're going to be fine. They're going to take one of those spots that you're both chasing right now.
Correct.
So it's time to get on a roll.
Well, and it's also what makes, like, I agree with you. Colorado's going to take one of those spots. They're getting healthier, and they're going to – I would just be floored if they don't take one of those spots. You got Edmonton and Calgary directly in front of you right now. But the team that's actually closest to you when you're looking at it, if you're the Predators, is Minnesota. They're 4 points in front of you right now, and they've got one game in hand on you. That's the closest route right now. The Pacific Division – has been a better division than the Central so far this year.
Kind of wild.
Seattle, the Kings, then you've got Edmonton, Calgary figuring out the wild card spot. Like right now, if you're the Predators, the team I'm interested in chasing down is Minnesota for that third spot in the Central.
But see, right, and I agree. Now, there's where, you know, like, I think Colorado's going to be up in there.
Could be.
And so at this point, I would guess that it's going to be Colorado in the 2-3. Well, they could win the division too, but against either the Stars or Jets. But yes, regardless, the point is getting the top eight one way or the other. And I do feel like Minnesota could be vulnerable.
I do too.
They've lost a couple in a row here.
I mean, regardless, if you're the Predators, you just got to keep winning. I mean, that's the thing. The St. Louis game was such a dud last week because it's a big game. You played two games before that where I thought they played well against Calgary, didn't play great against Columbus, but you won the game. So it's the only thing that matters at the end of the day. You won the game. But St. Louis was such a dud that it kind of puts a sour point on the week there. The bottom line is you won 3 of 4 last week. Like, you win 3 of 4 moving forward on a weekly basis, you're going to be in the playoffs as you move forward here. But the problem is now you start to look at some teams that are really good. And the Predators have struggled against the elite teams so far this year, and you're playing – I don't know that I would classify Winnipeg as an elite team. I think they're very good. So can you take down Winnipeg at home? And what I would expect is going to be quite the goaltending matchup tonight between Connor Hellebuyck and UC Saros.
Yeah, Winnipeg would be Winnipeg and Dallas both count, along with Seattle, among the, you know, big pleasant surprises in the league this year. I still, like, don't – on paper, I don't look at them and say, oh, that's one of the teams you point to. Can you play with the Jets? But, I mean, they're 31-16-1. What is their – like, how many overtime games have they been? Like, how many overtime wins do they have? 31-16-1.
I need to look.
I mean, they have only two fewer regulation losses than the Preds, but they must be un-freaking-believable.
Scott in Shelbyville says, we know how this is going to go. They're going to win the next two. Then, as always, they'll take a break and come back and lose 4 of the 5 after the break. It's from Scott in Shelbyville. I mean, David Poile kind of alluded to that. And it's kind of been the problem is, you know, they win 2-3. You feel like, okay, here they go. And then you take a step or two back.
I mean,
you got to avoid that at some point if you're going to make the playoffs.
Right. I mean, if they actually broke out of that and went on an actual tear, they could avoid the wild card thing.
Exactly.
In theory. But, you know, because, like, even the Jets have two games in hand on the Jets. They're 13 points behind them. That's a tall order.
Yep.
But, you know, you win this game And you still have two games in hand, 11 points. I mean, it's there's still – I mean, we're in January right now.
Well, you know how I love my friends at MoneyPuck.com and the percentages they throw out?
Oh, yeah.
Playoff odds for the Nashville Predators right now, according to MoneyPuck.com, 19.8%.
If you win tonight – They've been kind of hanging around there.
If you win tonight, it'd be at 23.26%.
Is that right? Okay. Yeah, they've been hanging kind of around high teens, low 20s, which isn't great. It's not really where you want to be.
If you lose tonight, it goes down to 16%.
But then again, the Tennessee Titans were 98% or whatever. What were they? 90?
They were pretty high.
December 12th.
To win the division.
Yeah.
So long ago.
As of December 12th, they were that
high?
Yeah.
Well, I remember like the same website a couple years ago. Predators were like, I don't know, 3%? I think it was 3%.
When they came in and they got in against the Canes?
Yeah.
So. Yeah. There's limitations on this stuff. That's right. Or you could just read Pro Football Focus.
Well, could do that. 615-737-1025. We'll have you covered all day long leading up to the Predators and the Jets tonight. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Chase and Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.